Criminals, you're listening to Thought Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network. It's at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is October the 7th, 2023, Saturday morning. This is hour two of Thought Crime Live, and Dr. Karen DeVore is my guest. She's a dermatologist, a practicing dermatologist in Spartanburg, who sees about 50 patients a day, she said, and we've been going over her experiences COVID-wise and government-wise and along those lines. And someone pointed out, sent me a text there talking about the Nobel Prize being awarded to Wiseman and Keto about this safe and effective vaccine because they developed this somehow. I mean, what arrogance. I was thinking that Masters of War was playing, they gave it to the right guy, like they gave Obama with the drone strikes, I guess. I don't know. It just seems someone wanted me to ask your in fact, the person who recommended you for the show turned me on to your testimony, wanted me to mention that.
Yeah, that's pretty ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
you can't really, you know, I don't think the Nobel Prize means what maybe it did once upon a time.
Well, maybe it does. We just didn't realize it then, too, in a way. I don't know. It's just these masters of war have been running things for a while, it seems. The deeper I look into the past. But that, you know, that's just another show. And we have callers backing up. I thank you again for joining me, Doctor. Let me go first to Patrick in Texas. Hello, Patrick. Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Good show. Ladies, really.
Hey, Patrick, I can't hear you, sir. Maybe could you get a little closer to the mic, maybe?
Okay, is that any better?
There you go. That's much better. Thank you, Patrick.
Used to before the Civil War, you could treat people. You know, now a license is to give you the legal right to do something that's normally illegal, and it's like a. You know, a letter from a marquis from a king would give it to a pirate. You know, so he could legally go out and be a privateer. And same thing over here now. Mrs. Mullen says, you know, they've done this through licensing. And the Civil War, they that's when they started coming up with these licensings. You had your supposedly be a doctor to treat people before that. So they done that through the Civil War. They started enforcing, you had to have certain standards, you know, and on your people to be able to practice medicine. But I just tell you that it's like the king, you know, you make these things up. It's not unlawful to treat people, but you know. But they make it unlawful, you know, and that's how they're doing it. And I just wanted to point that out, that, you know, they done that at the Civil War. That's when they really come out.
I was not aware that's when it started, Patrick, but I have to agree with you. I mean, it's like you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind blows in one sense, too, but it has to do with whether you can buy these particular substances that Big Pharma's making all this money on, and also that, oh, whatever reason, you may like this one and not the other one, and they have control of that. That's that getting that level of control, plus the shots they give people, you know, that mandates, really. Okay, I understand the licensing thing. That is kind of a pain, and I don't like that aspect of it either, because it excludes things that could be very useful. And supposedly it will protect you from certain things, you know, like, well, maybe they used X-ray technology thinking it was going to help a lot when it first came out with, oh, you know, and, you know, some things are actually harmful, but, you know, that it did suppress things that could have been done, I think. Let me let you respond to Dr. DeVore.
Well, I guess there's a necessary license for some things, but I certainly think we're over-regulated in every field, and it just surprises me they're even trying to license vitamins and homeopathic and naturalistic things now too. So I don't know where we're going with this.
Well, they wanted me to register my home garden. Go ahead, Patrick.
Oh yeah, they do. They want to register vitamin D and zinc.
Yeah.
It's like Eustace Mullen points that out. You know, the murder injection and all of that is like that. This is how they operate. They can meet the criteria to do things. You know, they become, if you want to become pass the bar or become a doctor or whatever, they control that criteria through their legal systems. And that's all I got. I just want to point that out.
Well,
thanks very
much for the call, Patrick.
And I didn't always realize how much control they had at the education level and research level.
Yeah, it's horrifying. They're taking the mask off. You can't help but see it now, I think, maybe, is one way to look at it. Okay, next we have Frank in New York. Frank, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you, Stephen, for taking the call. Dr. DeFore, the frontline doctors, you know, they came out and, you know, Dr. Stella Emanuel and Simone Gold, and I think they did a great job. If you get your license suspended, can you still practice, although you're not a member of the AMA or whatever?
I don't think you can practice if your license has been suspended.
Is that right?
No.
Okay, so they're kind of like a governing body, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, you know, like Patrick was just saying, you know, I think, you know, people should be able to, you know, if you're a natural healer or whatever, I mean, you know, people should be able to go where they want. And obviously, you're one of the better doctors out there, the top doctors, actually. I respected doctors who stood up and said, wait a minute, let's check this out. You know, I see so many of them. Local leaders, a guy that heads a big hospital here, and he jumped right on board, and, oh, you got to do this, you got to social distance, all of this garbage. And to me, these doctors, I mean, you know, I think you and I think the frontline doctors and a lot of other good doctors out there have more concern for their patients than for the dollar. And I think a lot of these doctors are just in it for the money. And I know years ago, doctors used to be more independent. I, you know, when I was a kid many, many moons ago, you know, a doctor would actually come to your house and visit, you know what I mean, if you weren't feeling well. You know, now these doctors, most of them seem to be like employees of hospitals. And, you know,
I think they hit the nail on the head.
And insurance companies, and hospitals owned by the insurance company, all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, what could go wrong?
Definitely a conflict of interest if, you know, with hospitals and hospital systems owning physicians. I think that has set up a lot of problems that have really shown themselves during this COVID experience.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I saw a doctor, you know, on the internet, and, you know, he said that he diagnosed somebody, and it was actually the flu. You know, they told us the flu, I think it was in 2021, there was like 45 million cases, and then in 2022 or something like that, it was down to, you know, a couple thousand, you know.
It disappeared,
Yeah, they were calling everything, okay, COVID, to get the money. You know, the government shouldn't be giving that money out. You know, when they say, you know, if you got the COVID, you get $13,000. If you don't, you don't get anything. And I saw a doctor, and he said this person, you know, had the flu. There was no doubt about it. But the hospital told him, look it, you call it COVID. And he actually, he had to fall in line, you know, that's his employer. I mean, I don't know if he had to, you know what I mean? Like I say, you know, if you got scruples or principles like you guys do, you know, but that's what he did. You know, he said, okay, it's COVID, you know, so they could get the $13,000, you know, and it's just disgusting because, you know, he diagnosed it correctly, but then he was kind of forced, you know, into saying, well, no, it wasn't that, it was this, you know, so they can get the money. And to me, you know, that's brutal. That's terrible, in my opinion.
I could tell you so many stories of what people have told me. You know, loved one goes into the hospital, terminal cancer, know that this is going to be the last probable time they see him, and he's not going to come out of the hospital. And when he passes away, they are approached to put COVID on the death certificate so that his hospital bills and his funeral will get paid for. And there was a price on everybody's head. You know, if you went in the hospital and got tested for COVID, if you got admitted for COVID, if you got remdesivir for COVID, if you got ventilated for COVID, if you died from COVID, there was not money to be made in keeping people out of the hospital. Our emphasis should have been on preventing people going to the hospital, but there was no emphasis given to that. It was all that once you got sick enough, there was definitely a price and a profit to be made by the hospitals. And if the hospitals employed the doctors, you know, who butters your bread determines a lot of decisions you will make.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. I agree. It's terrible the way that was handled. I mean, coming out and banning and ludicrously saying, oh, that's horse medicine, you know, the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin, you know. And then the protocols were, like you said, they'd push them in there, then give them the remdesivir. And I think I had read somewhere where remdesivir cost like a couple thousand dollars for a prescription, you know, where you could get the hydroxychloroquine for $10 or something. And I remember I saw a video of Fauci, okay, that little creep, okay, I saw him back in 2006, and he was saying anytime you get a coronavirus, always take a shot with hydroxychloroquine. He said there's no side effects, you know what I mean? It's effective most of the time. Why not always use it? You know, and then he did a complete reversal. He said, oh, no, we don't go with that. Now we're going to remdesivir. And I heard people say, you know, to get these people in the hospital, they give them the remdesivir, then they get them on the ventilators, and basically that kills them. And it's crazy, but, you know, that seems to be the procedure in most of these places, and it's unfortunate for the people in this country. And I want to commend you and go ahead, I'm sorry.
Can you believe that remdesivir, at least in South Carolina, is still on hospital protocols for people admitted with COVID, even whatever we are, 2 and 3 years into this?
Hospital protocol. It's disgusting, you know, and I mean, I see the people, you know, like local people, they run the newspaper, they go, oh, that's horse medicine, you know what I mean, this and that, and they don't know, and I think I researched it a little bit, and I think they said it was originally created for humans, but it did help with horses. I could be mistaken with that.
It's been out for over 30 years for humans, so yes, animals use some of the same medicines we use, I mean, and vice versa, probably. Yeah, that was a total... I'll just go ahead and say it was a lie. It was a total lie.
I agree.
It wasn't even misinformation. It was a lie.
Yeah, I remember the doctors out in front of the Supreme Court, you know, the frontline doctors, and they were saying, we can save a lot of these people. Let's get the hydroxychloroquine out there. You know, and I know Dr. Stella Emanuel, you know, you can order. She can get it for you now. I don't know if anybody can get it. Can you prescribe that legally, or would you get into trouble doing that?
I have been prescribing it legally. I mean, I prescribed it legally for over 30 years, and I've definitely prescribed a lot more of it in the last, 3 years.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. You know, we need more doctors.
And I will tell you, God bless those frontline doctors who stood in the front steps of the Supreme Court, because they really came out publicly early on, and really their testimonies encouraged me to continue to do what I was doing and to not necessarily question the efficacy of ivermectin that I'd been writing for years and years safely. I mean, you know, it starts to get in your head, too, when everybody starts coming down on you and telling you things. And to see people who stood up like that was encouraging to all of us.
It was great. It was great. You know, I know Dr. Simone Gold had to do, I think she did 60 days, didn't she?
She went to jail.
Yeah, I don't think it was for that. I think it was, she was talking about it, I think, down at the Capitol or whatever or something.
Yes,
I mean,
in D.C. on January 6th, somehow or another, got like the whole rest of that scenario, but somehow got caught up in some
I think it was the Bank of America. One of those credit card companies, you know, without any subpoenas or anything, they turned in all of the information of the people who used their card, who spent, you know, who used their card, like on the day before and the day of the, quote, the riot or whatever. I know it wasn't an insurrection, but, you know, it might have got a little bit out of hand, but I think that was by the agent provocateurs in there. I think the government had a lot of people pushing that, you know, but,
Let me ask you a question. Are there more and more people waking up in New York? I mean, I feel, you know, like people are beginning to question the narrative in South Carolina. It's not as strong as it should be, but I live in my own little pocket, and I wonder what the rest of the country or the world is thinking.
I really don't, you know, I'm not a hermit, but I don't go out a lot, but I mean, I read the local stuff and, you know, the local newspapers and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, to me, I don't see any great movement in that direction of an awareness coming about, you know, where people are getting enlightened and saying, hey, I mean, I hear people saying, hey, they're not going to take the next shots, they're not going to go that again, you know.
That's a start.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely. Now, I had heard that those shots, there was like 30 levels of them, the potency. And I could see where some people who got the shots, I mean, I saw some people, you know, get it and die within 24 hours. Young kids, too. I mean, 16, 18, 20 years old. And I mean, is there any credence to that? Do you know of if there was different levels of the potency of that vaccine?
I've heard the same thing, and I think it probably is true. I mean, I don't firsthand have any knowledge, but I know that there are batch numbers, and there were some that apparently were more lethal, and you could go look up your number. And I know a 28-year-old in my circle who, since he got his, I think, first booster, two shots and a booster, has been just sick, incapacitated. You know, he was a three-sport athlete. And just in the last, say, 3 months, was hospitalized with blood clots everywhere. And his mother, who it was very anti-vax from the get-go, looked up his batch, and supposedly, yes, he got one of the bad batch numbers. So I think there is something to that. Some people may have just gotten a saline injection. Right.
You know, it's disgusting what the pharmaceutical company does, and they got so much influence in the media. It's terrible, you know. Now, I had heard that there was 41 new billionaires created in the pharmaceutical industry since this thing started. I don't know if that's, you know, verifiable.
I've heard that,
too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I've heard. But I want to commend you, Doctor. You keep up the great work, and a lot of us out here appreciate people like you and the frontline doctors and others who have the courage to stand up and actually look out for the people instead of looking out for the pocketbook. And you have a great weekend. And you too, Stephen. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for the call, Frank. Yes, Doctor.
This is a grassroots effort. The government's not going to save us.
I hear.
Amen. You're definitely a thought criminal, Doctor. And I
didn't mean to be a criminal.
I know
of any
government
sort.
Is not going to save us. I think they're out to do the opposite. Honestly, you know, that's I've come to that conclusion after, after COVID. But I felt that way all along. But this just confirms it. It's just there is no government solution to this. There just isn't. You know, more of the same is not going to fix this. We have to turn our back on it, not comply, and find a completely different way to live. That's just the point that we are right now, and as a species, I think, as a civilization especially. Let me let you respond before we go to the next caller, Doctor. That was you. I want to say that it's great that you did this too, and I look forward to hearing the rest of that. And did you say there was a group called Medical Freedom? You mentioned some group. I've heard that group in a different context here locally. They were, I think I had some of their flyers, back when the mandates were in effect. This was right before the war in Russia had started.
We are trying to, it's a grassroots organization, South Carolina Physicians for Freedom. We are still very early in our development, but yes, we are trying to get like-minded physicians to be an educational source for people, for legislatures, for the public, for educators, for policymakers, and we are modeled after North Carolina is ahead of us, North Carolina Physicians for Freedom, if anybody wanted to look at their website. They are much further along, and they are helping with us. And at some point, we think we're going to have a southeastern kind of block of physicians who maybe can offer an unbiased critical thinking opinion on some issues.
Yeah, that critical thinking is a crime these days, it seems like. And I really do salute you for what you're doing. I would hope that you'll stay in touch and keep us updated. I mean, I know my listeners really appreciate you. And next, I have Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Thanks for the call, sir.
Yes, good morning. Good day, everybody. It's a great day for me, I guess. I made another year of the persuasion of birth. But I would like to, before I get rolling about what I want to say, I do want to say this. I did watch Rand Paul. I mean, he's not like his father. I guess I'll say that. He's not Ron Paul, but he's Rand Paul. He's no Ron Paul. But he did say on Hannity the other night, I don't know if you got to catch it, that he wrote a book, and it's the number one bestseller, and he's saying that Fauci needs to be thrown in jail with the teeth thrown away. He said that right on national TV on Fox News, that Sean Hannity, that Fauci was a criminal, and he needs to basically be locked up, the teeth thrown away, and never get out of jail, that the guy was absolutely a murderer. And I forgot the name of the book. I can't even, you know, my brain got scattered real quickly here, but I got too much on my plate, but I just want to bring that out, that you have a United States senator, and there's other senators that are calling out the President of the United States for his criminal acts on the border, but then we got a senator who wrote a number one bestseller book talking about Fauci and how he's murdered people, American citizenry, and the Wuhan lab and everything. This is just unbelievable. And you got a United States senator who has that like somewhat power to come out and say this. I mean, I don't know what that's telling the American public. Now, I would like to ask the doctor if she's here. My wife was in an automobile accident a year before the COVID came out. My wife took the COVID shot, and my wife is a vegetable, basically. She has ALS, okay? My wife got ALS. She never had. My wife was the hardest working woman you ever met in your life. My wife got ALS, okay? She has lost all motor functions. She can't even speak.
Wait, this
now
was...
you tell
this
me
was...
what COVID did.
What, I want to know when was she diagnosed?
Well, hey, Tom, let her respond. Go ahead.
When was she diagnosed with ALS? When was she diagnosed with ALS? I'm curious.
Right after the COVID came out.
Right after the vaccine?
10 months after COVID. Yeah, she took the
after
vaccine.
After COVID or after the vaccine?
I'll explain it to you. She was working. She took. Mm-hmm. She was forced to take the COVID shot. She took the COVID shot. And me and my daughter noticed 2 weeks later she was getting real kind of wobbly. And mm-hmm. she was working at the time, and they forced her to take the shot at her job, or they were still going to fire her. So she took the first shot. She was a little not doing so hot. I'm like, Mommy, she had to wait 2 weeks to take the second shot at her job. She took the second shot, and I would say 3 months later she was starting to lose her balance and everything. And within the 6 months, she was, forget it. And they didn't diagnose ALS on her till like the 8 months of her taking the shot.
You know what?
8 months to diagnose ALS.
I'm going to tell you, and this is personal, and you may call it anecdotal, but in my adult life, I saw the movie Brian Song. I maybe knew of two people in my adult 40-plus years, and they were not people I knew firsthand. You know, it'd be somebody's brother in Texas or some third cousin. Mm-hmm. I may have known two people who had ALS. In the last 2 years, I personally now know four. I just had another one diagnosed, and this would be the fifth, but I don't know your wife personally, but I know four first-hand people diagnosed with ALS, rapid onset. One of them just passed away this summer. In my personal sphere, I should not know four people diagnosed with ALS in the last 2 years. That just blows the statistics. And I personally do believe that neurologic disorders, ALS, Parkinsonism, motor neuropathies, Bell's palsy, you know, I'm just telling you, no patients, they're all shaky. They can't get on an exam table. They come in bruised because they are having so many falls.
Yep.
What, sir?
You know it. I'm just agreeing with you. Yes, I agree.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, and I believe that's what happened with your wife too, 100%.
Well, I know it. I know it is because my wife's family and my wife's family. They did. We did a DNA. The testing on all the family. No, it wasn't a hereditary. There's no hereditary in her family. okay? So she got it from this shot because not one person in her family has ever been diagnosed with that, okay?
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I hate to hear that, Tom.
She's 54 years old. She'll be 55 coming up here.
Wow.
And I want to mention to you, Stephen, I had a friend that was 53 years old. If I can say his first name, I won't say his last name, but his name was Jerry. He was a great guy. He's a carpenter. He took the shot. He was advised by his mother and brother, don't take the shot. He took the shot. He died a week later. And he was nothing wrong with this guy. He was in very good health because he was climbing up on doing rafters on roofs and all that. And he did carpentry and everything. He's a guy who was a good carpenter.
I hear stories like that all the time, every week, not every day. I hear stories like that, and I'm not exaggerating. Yes, theirs was sudden death before the COVID vaccine and before COVID, but it would be twice a year you'd hear it. Now it's multiple times a week that somebody tells me their 45-year-old son-in-law died in his sleep, or didn't make it to the hospital.
Yep.
It's happening way, way too often.
Stephen, I want to say this real quick, if I can.
Okay.
But there's so much. Look, you see what's going on in Israel right now. They're being attacked by Hamas. Now we're looking at another. I think it's all biblical, I guess you could say. But it's not going to end well here. It's not going to end well. But I just wanted the doctor to know this. I have a friend whose wife is a friend of mine, too. And she was she's from Indonesia. She says she's from Jakarta. She said in Jakarta, nobody took. 90% of the people did not take the shot. They took cloxychloroquine or they took Regeneron. And why is that? We're in Indonesia, where they have 1 billion people, nobody's hardly died over there. Even in Africa, because they were taking the pills, they were not taking shots in those countries, and their death rate was very, very nil, none hardly. But over here in the United States and all these countries.
And that was another reason I had heard that, and that was another reason I felt very comfortable writing hydroxychloroquine. These countries where they gave it once a week, it's like the Sunday pill because they were preventing malaria and things. Those countries did far better than the first world highly vaccinated countries, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That was another reason
that
I had faith in what I was doing and thought, okay, there's got to be something to this.
And then it was so hard to get, it was plants that made the raw material are getting blown up. Really? I mean, what? It's just sometimes it just gets so in our face, that. And then all these patent numbers and stuff. It's it's disconcerting. Go ahead.
I would like to ask the doctor, but I would like to say one more thing. There's something I would like to say some more about the COVID, but I was looking at the news just now about New Mexico. And in New Mexico,
Tom, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. Okay. Can you hold on till right after the break? And I do have some more callers, but if you could hold on till after the break, Tom, we'll finish up your point. And I really appreciate your call, and I really appreciate you, Doctor. Thanks very much. This is terrific.
I am a white destroyer. For I will show you silver and gold, and I will bring you treasure. I will wave a widowing flag, and I will be your lover. And I will show you grotto and cave and sacrificial altar. And I will show you.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Coming back.
Welcome back, Thought Criminals. I'm Stephen Whitener, your host of Thought Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network. And I have Dr. Karen DeVore, a local dermatologist in Spartanburg, South Carolina, near where I live. We've been talking about all things COVID and the ridiculous response and, you know, how a pandemic doesn't need a PR department and vaccines and a lot of different things. It's been very, very informative. I appreciate your time and your efforts, Doctor, very much. And next up, I have Lynn in Maryland.
Thank you very much, Stephen and Dr. DeVore. Thank you for all the great information. When I was listening to Tom, and my heart goes out to him, and happy birthday, Tom. My heart goes out to him for the condition of his wife. I wanted to recommend a book. Actually, I was in really bad shape. I spent a lot of hours researching what was wrong with me. And then I came across a book that had all the information that I had found in my research. And fortunately, I had access to college and, you know, library and medical journals and everything else. So the book is called Could It Be B12? The Epidemic of Misdiagnosis. Could it be B12? The Epidemic of Misdiagnosis. And the author's name, it's a wife and her husband. She's an RN. Pocholok, P-O-C-H-O-L-O-K. and his last name is Stewart, and he's an ER doc. Most people have neurological involvement will need methylcobalamin, and my best friend's a PA, and she actually started treating me like I was a hypochondriac of some sort because I just felt so bad. I had 20 years of abnormal blood work, and I'd always say, why is my MCV high and my red blood cell count low? Oh, it doesn't mean anything, doesn't mean anything. You know, and doctors don't normally know how to test for B12 anyway. They'll do like a serum B12 and say, well, you're fine. And but what happened with her, she went in the morning report kind of griping about me, and her boss said, wait a minute. He went to medical school with another doctor who actually was doing his bucket list with ALS. And he had come to visit, and he was in a wheelchair at this point. And his friend, my friend's boss said, will you let me do a blood test on you? Let me do some blood work and some tests. And he said, sure, you know, they're both doctors. Turns out he didn't have ALS. He had a B12 deficiency. And it's like the woman who won the $14 million lawsuit who'd been diagnosed with MS. She didn't have MS, and it was Pakalak who diagnosed her. And she got out of a wheelchair, but she still walked with a cane because of the nerve damage, because it does the same thing. It messes with your myelin sheath. I called CDC when everybody was talking about long COVID. Now, I'm sure it didn't get anywhere because I got disconnected 3 times, and I ended up talking to this kid, and I said, look, this ought to get you a raise. Write this down and find somebody to share it with, because everybody complaining of low COVID has symptoms of a B12 deficiency. B12 is a very complicated vitamin when it comes to absorption. It's more complicated than any other nutrient, and if there's something wrong with your gut, and you don't have an ileum like people who've had gastric bypass or some type of intestinal surgery where they've removed your ileum, you cannot absorb B12. Or like me, all I needed was a $35 blood test to test for intrinsic factor. I have pernicious anemia. It's hereditary. And the same doctor of the 12 that said, nothing wrong with you, nothing wrong with you, was my mother's kidney doctor. And he put her on Procrit shots after he gave her a test for leukemia, which she didn't have. And then after Medicare stopped paying for Procrit because it cost so much, guess what they started giving her? B12. But she'd have to go get a blood test every few months to check her B12. And I'm like, this is stupid. And then when she started getting, you know, kind of wacky in the head, I called and kind of yelled at him. And I said, can I give her a B12 shot? And he said, sure. And I said, well, you know what, she's not going to let me inject her. And I said, well, I could get her sublingual. And he said, oh, that won't work. You'd have to give her a nasal spray. I'm like, mucous membranes are mucous membranes, for God's sake. And I'm not a doctor, but, you know, because I figured geromethyl. But, you know, if something's happening with somebody's gut that they can't absorb, or any of the other 5 ways that you have interference with B12 could have something to do with it, but somebody with neurological damage will need to inject methyl B12. You'll need methyl to repair. And it'd take a long time, but I'd stick with it and do a daily shot. Okay, thank you very much.
Let me let the doctor respond, Lynn.
And
thanks
thank
very
you,
much
doctor,
for the call.
You're wonderful. Mm-hmm. Bless your heart.
Oh, thank you. Well, no, anytime you have an easy fix to what is really otherwise a horrible problem, I mean, if you can replace B12 and get somebody, and somebody doesn't have ALS, I mean, that's miraculous. So
yeah, I think we've been lied to about a lot of things. And
we'll be aware of that.
Yeah, and that doctor's well today.
Good.
He went back to practice.
Impressive. That is impressive. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
so
thanks
much.
Again
thank
for
you,
the call.
Stephen. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Next up is Miles in Maine. Miles, thank you for calling, sir.
Yeah, good show there, SDW, and a nice guest you got there, too. But I just wanted to know, who cares what Rand Paul says? I mean, Rand Paul says Biden shouldn't be impeached. I mean, if Rand Paul's so concerned, why isn't he holding hearings or holding, calling the Justice Department and having hearings in the Senate or somewhere in some committee with them about what's going on. You know, I mean, even Deborah Birx wrote a book, but this nonsense, well, Rand Paul says he should do this. Well, I mean, everybody agrees that what's going on is criminal. That's no secret. But again, what's he doing about it? He's doing nothing. Mm-hmm. We're just getting more lip service, and people just jump up and down and up and down. I heard a caller the other day. She had mentioned something about Rand Paul, you know. And so, yeah, every couple times a year he mentions something but does nothing. So where do we get with that? I mean, it's like a football game. You know, it's like you take the football and you got the ball and you punt it. It's a great punt, but the other team ends up with the ball and nothing goes on. So, you know, until we have hearings and, you know, somebody holds the Department of Justice responsible for not taking action on, you know, this Fauci stuff and all this gain of function and all this testing and all this experimental stuff going on, you got nothing. You can talk all day and write all kinds of best-selling books.
Well, I share that frustration. I feel like, you know, evidence of crimes in all these areas are right in front of us, and nobody is... People will talk about it, but nobody will pick up the ball and run with it. You know, it's just a dog and pony show, and I hate that, and that's kind of why I feel when I'm doing what I'm doing is if I can make a difference on a grassroots level, I just don't see our leadership coming to help us.
Exactly. If Rand Paul wanted to do something, why doesn't he have this wonderful young lady here on C-SPAN in one of his hearings that he chairs or something? You know, this is where this lady needs to be. Fortunately,
I agree.
Here with us because of you, SDW, bringing her on board with us. But if it wasn't for that, I mean, I applaud a guy like you for bringing her. I don't applaud Rand Paul because he said something and then did nothing. I mean, that's insane. But you guys keep up the good work. And, man, you keep up that great job you're doing. And it's nice to hear you. It's good to hear this show. And thanks, RBN.
Thank you, Miles. That was terrific. I appreciate you listening very much. And let me let you respond before I take the next caller, Doctor. I really am glad that you had the courage to go down there and speak out. And these other people, I encourage the listeners, if they can get to the chat room, and I'll try to, when I write a description for the last weekend, this one, I don't have one for last week yet, I'll put a link to that in the description of the show today as well.
Well, I just want to say, you know, again, I do share that frustration, but I do think that we, the average ordinary citizen, have more power than we think. They do respond when voters start calling them. And, you know, like in South Carolina, I mean, we need to be calling and writing and emailing and making appointments to talk to our legislatures and say, hey, you know, we think there should be no mandate for any South Carolina citizen. You know, we think we should hold these vaccines until we know what's in them and we know the safety profile. You know, we need to stop pharmacists overriding doctors' prescriptions. I mean, if everybody listening would contact their legislatures, I think we'd make more of a difference than we know. It's got to start at the bottom. It's got to start at the grassroots, because we've already seen it's not going to start at the top. It's not going to come down that direction. So I just want everybody to take the time to write a letter, make a phone call, do it today.
Talk to your neighbors too. Okay, I don't know I don't think more government's going
to
fix any of this, honestly. You know, but I'm sick of it, and I described the medical freedom people that I had met here in South Carolina. They may be the same ones that I had there. You know, this was a group that was trying to form a school, a church, and a business park that was unvaxxed, that was pure blood, that was free, that was able to do like they wanted. And, you know, they're probably with people in the FBI sitting there. You know, that's a crime these days to try to think for yourself. You know, you mentioned January 6th, that people rotten in the gulag since then. We've talked about all that, and it's just, yeah. I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir. The people, this is a very, very astute audience that we have. But I'm really grateful for you sharing your time with us this morning. This is terrific. I mean, other people may want to invite you on in the future too, and I will look at the other people that were on that here, because locally, locally here, I get together with some people like-minded. Yeah. Yeah, and we're kind of local. Some people that I know from the network that I'll meet at some events at the Dixie Republic here in Travelers Rest, and just things like that. You know, if you get to and we talked about, I know it was a different person, but there was a rhino hunt. I mean, I don't believe in political solutions, but there were people there and that actually like minded and upset about the same things as us. Okay.
You're going to have to elaborate on that rhino hunt. I would love to hear more about
Republican
that.
Republican in name only kind of thing where they were.
I know what it means, but I've never heard that anybody hosted a rhino hunt.
Oh, well, yeah, they would meet together once a month. And they had attended some of the local county council and I don't know if some people I met there went to the school board, too. But I don't know if the rhino hunt people particularly went to I think they went to the county council and the school board. And, you know, if you don't care enough about what's going on to do that, at least, I mean, line up, put on your mask, social distance, and get your next shot, I guess, is the best I could say. But I don't know. It gets frustrating sometimes, Doctor. I know I feel the audience's frustration with this, too. And I have Mike in Kentucky. Mike, thank you for calling, sir.
Well, okay. Am I on now? I heard that burst.
Yeah, there you go.
I was worried about all the background noise I had going here between the furnace kicking on and dishwashing. It's Saturday morning, catch up on the chores. So your guest there, what do you think? Did you review some of the treatments and science for various things like coronavirus to the that particular type of pneumonia? It seems like they threw all that science out the window with COVID. SARS-CoV-2 and MERS, there were treatments and things that showed promise, but all of a sudden, that science was junk. You couldn't even put it on social media.
You're correct. I mean, yes, I mean that's actually ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine showed some promise in the SARS-CoV-1, and you know what? Remdesivir did not show much promise, but somehow the narrative became remdesivir was the answer, the emergency approved drug, and these others were not, and. You know, the only thing
it
wasn't
just that. I had a method that I heard about from on shortwave in about 1997. This Uncle John, I think his name was, from Tennessee, used to call in. And I tried it. It worked a couple of times when I had real bad laryngitis. And his contention was, and I don't necessarily agree with why he thought why it worked, was that we're around a lot of electromagnetic fields and some of these very weak acids that are part of our immune system get damaged by that. So, also, there was this Lou Lyons guy that was selling magnets, and I ordered one, and it was supposed to be COD. Well, they never charged me for it. So, I experimented with that thing, and from 6 feet away, it could change the color on a TV set. And I made some lemonade one time, and I talked to an environmentalist. I said, how can you magnetize water? And he said, well, you know, it has a polarity. The H2O molecule has a polarity. Long story short, I made this lemonade fast to cleanse, you know, with cayenne pepper. And I put a glass of it in a refrigerator on that magnet as an experiment. It took all of the tartness out of that lemonade. And I've talked to a bunch of different, you know, sciencey types working on their doctorate, and they just foo-foo the whole idea that magnet could do anything to that citric acid or ascorbic, I guess it'd be ascorbic acid. But so there's some quantum stuff that can go on there. And his method was to get off of all dairy and take black tea, dark chocolate, at least 72% with no milk in it. You know, people get fooled with that. They hide milk in a lot of stuff. And then you can use carrot juice, but he specifically, they don't make this brand anymore. It was pressed with hydraulic presses. It was called Hollywood. It was in a can like Donald Duck orange juice used to be. But they don't even make it anymore, so I used something called, just different brands of it now, but pressed carrot juice. And it worked a couple times when I had went to the doctor and paid out, you know, $70 and bought antibiotics and, you know, whatever copay I had at the time. 10 or 12, 14 days, I'd have this laryngitis roaming around my head, and it wouldn't go away. When I did that, it was gone in 2 or 3 days. So
that makes sense to me, Mike. You know my story about having a sinus infection all the time. I practically had to have antibiotics and prednisone to breathe for years and years until I finally stopped. And I did a similar thing to what you're describing. I got to thinking about when was the last time that I was symptom free of that for a long time. And it was when I was doing this juice fast back in 2012. But from 1990 up until, you know, I was always sick with some sinus respiratory thing since Aquatech. I just stayed sick, and the big pharma drugs kept making me sicker, y'all. I swear. I mean, I'm living proof that that happened, you know, and without it, it's better. I mean, I'm not trying to be anybody's doctor, just an example, you know. This is anecdotal, but look, you can't heal yourself.
Go a long way. Zinc and magnesium and vitamin D do tremendous things, and people can run their vitamin D higher than they think. There's a guy named Kaufman who published a study that showed a strong correlation between vitamin D levels above 30 and a precipitous drop in SARS-CoV positives and illness. But when it was down below 20, it started going parabolic. You know, people dying and having positive tests. So just your vitamin D, you know, who was recommending that? I think, you know, one press conference, Fauci said, well, I take vitamin D, and then some woman that was a friend of his emailed him, and he admitted how much he was taking, and it was way above the normal dose. I'm trying to remember. I think he was taking 6,000 a day or something. Well, that's way above the USDA recommendation of like 600. You know, it's like 10 times. Did he tell anybody else to do that? No. So they want us sick. They want us vulnerable to this stuff.
If you're low, it's really bad. Just like the B12 that the other caller was talking about. There's some things that mega dosing. I read in this book was called Dead Doctors Don't Lie, actually, back long ago, and it had different protocols with some mega doses for things that had worked, but they were not allowed to. I mean, this guy went to prison for writing this book, if I remember correctly. It's just, you know, this thing is so corrupt. You know how I feel about the medical industrial complex, so I'm very grateful for someone who will speak out against them who's actually a doctor, a credentialed person, Dr. DeVore. Listen, let me echo the listeners again. I really appreciate what you did.
Yep.
Well, thank you. I appreciate just what all of y'all are doing to get the word out and talk to your neighbor and talk to your Sunday school class, and just that's what's going to change things. And yes, you know, I think when you come through traditional medical school training, you get no, and I mean no, education on nutrition and vaccinations. And, you know, that's just not taught. It's the pharmacies control your medical school curriculum, and they make drugs.
And I've heard you can be threatened. I've heard you can be threatened. Well, Doc, you've got a lot of elderly patients here. Your prescription level is not very high enough. You're way below average. You might get reported to the review board.
I'm sure that's true. I mean, I have not witnessed that, so I can't speak to that, but that doesn't surprise me one bit.
Well, they sure bring you the free gifts and the meals and all that fun. They wine and dine these guys that are good prescribers.
Yep.
That's true. Have you received any blowback from your testimony? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you, Mike, but a listener wanted me to ask that as well.
The only negative blowback I've gotten so far, and it's kind of funny, is a patient called up the office and said they wanted to cancel all future patients, all future appointments with Dr. DeVore. And my office staff said, well, sir, you don't have any appointments with Dr. DeVore. So, I guess we should offer to make him an appointment so that he could have been, you know, had the pleasure of canceling his appointments.
I'll let you finish up and give the contact info and stuff. Thanks for taking my call there, Mr. Whitener.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you listening, and I always appreciate your input. And, back when I think I sent you the picture where I was sitting on the red ball in front of Target, 355 pounds, and
yes,
doctors do not want you to stop taking medicines. It's like I got a dry hacking cough from I think it was the ACE inhibitor, one of the blood pressures I took, and I stopped taking it. Well, oh my God, blood pressure's fine, but oh, they got to replace it with something. They just got to, and it kept on and on after me. And I said, no. And I finally said, forget all of this, you know. The only thing I have still used is testosterone. It was so low when they checked, it was like less than 80 or something, you know, ridiculously low number. The other stuff I had was taking it knocked it down. So that's the only thing I still really take, that allopathically, that and aspirin at this point. I'm healthier without it. I mean, but, you know, that, I don't try to tell anybody else what they should do, but this is what I did. And I feel like a brand new person.
Yeah, I think we have not really been educated nor encouraged to do vitamins and supplements and nutrition, and that's the fault of our medical system, and it's funded by the pharmaceutical company, so go figure, put those two dots together.
And big food, you know, just don't get me started with all of the stuff that's in our food that can't be in anywhere else, much less contaminated vaccines, you know. How about the water we drink, you know? It's just, yeah, I don't know, Doc. I really do appreciate people standing up to this. And y'all listeners, look, go ahead.
The big push now going forward is going to be for vaccines for everything. And because, again, there's a lot of money to be made and there's zero liability. You know, we've lost the market forces that would have demanded safety when you make these products that have no liability. Even your pharmaceutical drugs, you know, at the bottom of your ads have a disclaimer as to what adverse things, and those manufacturers of our drugs can be sued if they've withheld information or you know, not done the proper studies long term. But if you make a vaccine, you have zero liability. There's zero motive to do long term clinical trials. Zero motivation to control, to have a placebo control group to compare to. Zero motivation to look into making your product better or safer.
Yeah. Well said. You know, we need a brand new system. We need to care for people instead of exploitation and harvesting their resources and stuff. And it's just, yeah, it gets frustrating, you know, when to even think these days is a crime. I just really appreciate you joining me today. This was a very, very good show. Probably one of the best ones that I think I've done. I believe the listeners will agree. I applaud you again for stepping up. If you would like to give out any contact information or I could forward emails to you, that's fine too.
You can do that. That'll be fine. I'm
right
here in DeVore in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Thanks very much. And y'all stay tuned for Paul Edward Stevenson, who will be live next. And remember, a thought crime a day helps keep tyranny at bay. Talk to you next week.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.